Well, the one thing that's not hard to talk about is good news. Well, I tell you what, when you get some good news, you cannot wait to tell somebody about it. I remember when my first child was born, I wanted everybody to know. Man, was I excited. I had a little girl. That was back in the days before, when you didn't know until the birth of the child. And I was a youth pastor at the time. And I let everybody know there at the church, and the youth group had gone out. Of course, I wasn't with them because of being at the hospital with my wife. And there is a big sign up on the church when they came back, "It's a girl, and her name is Elizabeth." I just, you know, I wasn't ashamed at all to let everybody know that I had a little girl. Good news is a wonderful thing. A well-known preacher was conducting a crusade in Oklahoma City a number of years ago, and at noonday, he spoke to a joint meeting of the city's civic clubs. And the preacher's message was a simple message on salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. At the end of the meeting, some of the men in attendance rushed forward to thank him for his message. But one said this, "I have been going to church all my life, but that is the first time I have ever heard that. It's the greatest thing that I have ever heard." Folks, the greatest thing you'll ever hear is what the Bible calls the gospel. You translate the word into common English, gospel simply means good news. The good news that we just need to be as excited about as possible. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Oh, I'm telling you, when you understand the good news, that's one thing you're never ashamed of. You probably noticed that with Bible-believing Christians, the excitement about knowing the good news. And so this morning, we want to look very carefully at what is the gospel and what is the good news. So first of all, if we're going to understand this, we're going to have to understand the importance of understanding the bad news. The importance of understanding the bad news. The good news is that which comes in light of the fact that there is very bad news. Now, folks, we're pretty weary, are we not, of all the bad news today? In fact, I find myself, and you may do it the same, sometimes I just don't listen to the news. Sometimes you don't even want to read it because it's just one thing after another thing. It's wearisome. As we're seeing all that is happening today, we do live in very troubled days. Now, part of the reason we are so aware of bad news is we have more communication outlets than ever and such immediacy in being able to hear what is going on. But when it comes to things that directly affect us, we need to know what's happening because we got to make decisions based upon that which affects us, whether we like it or not, that bad news. If the doctor tells you, diagnosis that you have something serious that needs to be treated immediately, you need to hear the bad news before you can hear the good news of the treatment and the reality that your situation can be cured. It can be handled. If you ignore that bad news and act like the doctor never talked to you, well, then you'll not be able to get the treatment to be able to solve your problem. And so it is very important that we do not minimize the bad news. In fact, folks, all of the bad news about international affairs, all the bad news about crime, all the bad news about what's happening in families, it all comes from the essence of the bad news that I'm going to talk about here. You see, this planet is not populated by neutral people. The Bible makes it very clear that we have been born in sin because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Every one of us are born with a sinful nature, and that is why we have the issues and have had for millennia here in the human race. And so the bad news, first of all, is that every man is guilty of breaking God's law. Every man is guilty of breaking God's law. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever things as the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, folks, we don't like to think ill of ourselves, and it's not good going around being negative in our thinking. But the Bible's very clear that the reason we have a Savior is that we need a Savior. The reason we have the love of God manifested is because we desperately need the love of God manifested to us. And so we must understand that every one of us have broken God's law. That's what it says. Every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. At the close of a service, a man approached Dr. Stearns with a criticism. I don't like the way you preach. I do not care for all this talk about Christ dying for the lost. Instead of preaching the death of Christ on the cross, why don't you get a little bit more up to date? Preach Jesus, the wonderful teacher and example. Well, Dr. Stern said, would you then be willing to follow him if I preach Christ as the great example? I would. I'll follow in his steps. Well, then Dr. Stern said, well, let's take the first step. 1 Peter 2:22 says, who did no sin? The critic seemed confused. No, he said, I do sin, I must admit. Well then, said Dr. Stearns, you need first Christ, not as an example, but as your Savior. You see, most folks will say good things about Jesus Christ. But understanding he's the Son of God and understanding that he died on the cross can only become real when we fully embrace the reality of what the Bible says, that we are guilty of breaking the law. All of our mouths are stopped before God. And so we must understand that every one of us are imperfect. All have sinned, Romans 3:23 says, and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is the attributes of God, the person of God. And every one of us fall far short of even coming close to living a life that is in accordance with who God is. In a day when there were very few cameras, that's hard to imagine. By the way, do you remember when there were cameras? With all the cell phones today, it's very handy. But back when, before there were even cameras, hardly, an evangelist was out in a park with some friends there enjoying the wonderful, pleasant afternoon in Glasgow, Scotland. And he carried with him a little leather case in which he had his Bible. Well, as he walked along, a group of young people came along, saw that leather case, and thought it was a camera. And they came up to him and said, oh, sir, would you be willing to take a picture of us? I mean, this was a big deal in those days, to have your picture taken and to actually have it. And they called it a photograph. And so he said, oh, I have it already. And they were a little surprised. The spokesman said, when did you take it? Take it. You must have got us on the hop, as he said there in Scotland. Well, I have it. Here it is. And he pulled out his Bible and read Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 23, and concluded with, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Folks, whether we like it or not, that's our photograph. Now, we don't like to admit that. We want to feel pretty good about ourselves. And like I said, it's not good to go around with a negative attitude, but we need an honest attitude. The good news means very little if we do not understand the bad news that we're all sinners and we have come short of God's law. We have broken it, every one of us. We all stand guilty before him. That means then that every man will be judged because of breaking God's law. This is one part of the message of the gospel that is often ignored today because we just don't like to hear that reality. But the kindest thing we can ever do is to look honestly at what the Bible says so we can understand what Christ has done for us. Folks, heaven is absolutely perfect. Now, wouldn't you think that heaven's perfect? Okay, I mean, isn't that clear in the Word of God? Absolutely. If you go without your sin being handled, you would make it imperfect. And that's one thing that's hard for us to get a hold of. Speaking of heaven, Revelation chapter 21, verse 27 says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it, heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that which is they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now, friends, every one of us here have lied. And if I was to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever lied, if you did not raise your hand, you would have just lied. Okay, that's just the way it is. That's one thing that hits everybody. We might think we're okay on the other 10 parts of the Ten Commandment, but even there we're fooling ourselves. But we're all liars. That means if your sin is not taken care of and you are not perfectly holy, you're not going to heaven. It's a very sobering fact. You know, people really think through who they are and their efforts, they can get to heaven. I just flew in again a few days ago from being with our missionary there in Ghana, and I flew, as I often do, over Lake Michigan. Now, when you're on a flight, it seems to be fairly narrow because you're coming into Milwaukee, coming across Lake Michigan. But you'd be fairly foolish thinking that you could train well enough and be strong enough to jump all the way from here to, let's say, Benton Harbor on the other side of Lake Michigan. We all understand we do not have that ability. And my friends, we cannot get to heaven on our own. It is impossible. Well, you say, wow, if I don't go to heaven, what does that mean? Well, folks, the Bible teaches that you are born with an eternal spirit. You will live somewhere forever. You are not just an evolved animal. Down in your heart of hearts, you know that, no matter what teaching you have had. You know that there is a spiritual reality to your life, and you are eternal. God made you in His image. You are very, very special to the Creator God who loved each one of us by creating us. And then, of course, as we're going to see, dying for us. And so, if we don't go to heaven, then the Bible's very clear. We have to pay for the judgment of our sins ourselves. Now, no one has to, but if we refuse to understand the good news and not be willing to accept the bad news, then if we enter into eternity with sin in our life, God in His justice must judge sin. Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Now, folks, we don't like to talk about it, but everyone here realizes, and every few days, all of a sudden, you'll think about it, "I'm going to die someday." No one here is in this physical body immortal. We are in our spirit. And so death is coming, and death is because of our sin. It's the judgment for our sin. But there is a second death that comes because of our sin if we do not trust the Lord. There, all of humanity will stand before the Lord at the white throne judgment. And we read there, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, my friends, that's awful news. I mean, you know, you may not like news about North Korea, and I don't blame you. You may get tired of all the political news. that can be really bad news for you. There can be other things as far as hurricanes and earthquakes. It's bad news. But the worst news of all is, the reality is, for anyone who will not trust Christ, God has to judge sin. He is a holy, pure, and just God, and the Bible is extremely clear about this. A North Carolina evangelist that was very well known and a real blessing, his name was Vance Havner. And as he was beginning his ministry, before he went into evangelism, he pastored a church, a little country church. And a farmer didn't like a message that, the messages he preached on hell. He was really an evangelist, and so he was constantly preaching on hell. He said, "Preach about the meek and lowly Jesus." Well, Havner replied, "That's where I got my information about hell." And that's very true. The Lord Jesus spoke far more about hell than he did heaven. That's why the God of heaven would leave the throne and come and become one of his creation and live a humiliating existence here on this earth and then submit himself to the death of the cross and take upon him the sins of the whole world and experience eternal judgment for us. That's why. If there was no hell, there's no need for the cross. Folks, it's simple. You've got to put it together. And if we're really honest about the state of the human race, we got to admit we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble, and it's because of sin. And I'm telling you, folks, God's a holy God. He will judge sin. One of the greatest English preachers that ever lived was a man named Charles Spurgeon. Preaching one time on this subject, he said, As the Lord liveth, sinner, thou standeth on a single plank over the mouth of hell. And that plank is rotten. Thou hangest over the pit by a solitary rope, and the strands of that rope are breaking. Strong, but very true. Whenever I see any kind of a news clip about tragic situations where people die, my thought is that some of those folks were plunged into hell. You know, folks jumped out of those buildings on 9/11, and they quickly removed those pictures because they were just too hard to see. People up in the windows and jumping and so forth. That was just a horrific scene. I'd forgotten how horrific it was until I visited the 9/11 memorial there in New York City, and those pictures are there again. And some people that knew the Lord jumped from the fire into heaven. Some people jump from fire into fire. And so it's very sobering for us as believers. And I just want to say to every genuine born-again believer today, how we can live our lives so casually and how we can be so consumed with our own lives when people all around us are on that single strand that could be broken at any time. Life is so tenuous. And how desperately we need to be boldly, unashamedly giving out the good news. Well, we need to understand the bad news. And we need to understand the danger of believing the fake news. This has become something over the last year and a half that has become a very big reality in our lives. There's always been fake news, but it's become more obvious in all that has gone on. And, you know, it's very unnerving when even supposedly trusted news services actually report fake news. And when people that we're supposed to trust for whatever movement they're trying to accomplish give false impressions that do create danger, frankly, uncertainty and chaos. We're bothered by that. Fake news is a big deal. You know, the one thing that is so important about truth is that every one of us really deserve the truth. That's why lying is such a horrible thing. I remember dealing very hard with my children as my father did with me. The one thing he said, I will not tolerate lying. Lying is a great disservice. It's stealing from someone the truth that they deserve. Well, folks, there is fake news about the good news. And you've got to see this. There is a counterfeit gospel, and this counterfeit gospel comes from a very powerful, wily foe named Satan. Satan is a liar. The Lord Jesus said he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Galatians 1:6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, and this is a very strong language, let him be accursed. Now, folks, Satan has used all kinds of temptations. He has used temptation for horrible sin. He has used just the destruction of nation to nation. He has had all kinds of tools, but his number one masterpiece from the very beginning of time on, we see it at the Tower of Babel, we see it throughout every civilization, it is religion. You've got to understand that Satan, before the fall, was Lucifer. He was the top anointed cherub. He had the ability, he was created in greater ability than all of the other angels, and his main task was to bring the angelic host into worship to God. Well, he is now, as the Bible calls him in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the God of this world. He is a master at drawing worship away from God, and his primary task is to draw worship to ourselves and trust to ourselves or other people. And so Satan can sound so good. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. Now, folks, I really want you to get a hold of this. Religion is his tool. And it is very subtle. And the essence of false religion, the counterfeit gospel, teaches works religion. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ. And notice, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law can no man be justified, legally declared righteous. Remember what the law was said in the verse that we looked at in Romans chapter 3? It causes us to all stand guilty before the law. The law is not how you get to heaven. The law reveals that you need Christ to be able to get to heaven. It reveals the perfection of God, and in our sinful nature, we do not have that perfection without God. And so the counterfeit gospel teaches by works and religious rituals, you can somehow get rid of sin and get to God. Another very famous preacher from about 100 years ago, H.I. Ironside, used to talk to folks on the streets of Chicago and in California and different places about the gospel, the good news. And people would say, well, there are hundreds of religions. How can we know what is really true? And then he would generally answer, there are only two religions. Oh, there are different shades and different faces that the one side has, but there's really only two different schools of religion. The one covers all who expect salvation by doing. The other, all who have been saved by something that's already done. So you see, the whole question is simple. He said, can you save yourself, or must you be saved by another? If you can be your own savior, then you don't need my message. If you cannot, you do very well to listen to it closely. Well, the fact is the Bible could not be clearer. Even the few verses that I've read to you are very clear that the works of the law will not solve our sin problem and our eternity problem. And so we must understand that this trap of depending upon ourselves has caused many good people, to not go to heaven. A very wealthy, very benevolent lady was just frustrated at the truth about the gospel, for she didn't want to admit she couldn't get to heaven on her own. And she would give on a regular basis a very beautiful supper to a lot of poor people in her mansion, and then she would give them beautiful clothes, and and she did a lot of good works. Well, the man that was talking to her was trying to think about how to help her, and then he says, if one of your guests thank you for the clothes that you gave him and said, I got to make some small return, and he rolled up his old clothes in a parcel and asked you to accept them in return, would you be pleased? And she said, no. Then it dawned on her how useless all of her efforts to make herself better, and she needed to accept the gift of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are, it does not measure up to the beauty of the perfection and holiness of God. Folks, the fake news that Satan has been propounding from the beginning of man is that you can do it. And until you understand the bad news that we're sinners, and we've come short of the glory of God, and until you are willing to identify the fake news that religion won't get you there, anything that depends upon you and your goodness to get you to heaven, until you see that as fake news, that comes from the angel of light, Satan himself, who deceives, he transforms himself into an angel of light. And until you see that, and that you stand helpless without what Christ did, not until then can you really be saved. And I'm sure there are folks in here that are very, very good people. Some of you are here and you know you're a sinner and you're desperately looking for help. But a lot of people have lived their life counting on all their good works, counting on the rituals they were involved in, really feeling pretty good about themselves, but yet down in their heart of hearts, are they really ready for death? I want to tell you as kindly but firmly as I can, you're not ready. You're not ready. Your works are as filthy rags. They will not cover you in the holiness of God that you desperately need. All right, we looked at the bad news. We've looked at the fake news. Let's look at the good news. It's the necessity of receiving the good news. Now, why are we taking time here this morning? Well, if you're going to come to a place in which your sins are completely taken care of and you can know you're on your way to heaven, you have to understand the truth that I'm telling you right now. And folks, it's so simple. Jesus said, let the children come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Our pride is what makes it complicated. The fact is, I'm a sinner. I deserve God's judgment. And in the only way I can escape God's judgment is to realize that God himself took my place on the cross. I have to understand that reality. 1 Corinthians 15, if you would look closely at these first four verses, this is a declaration of the gospel, the good news. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. So here is the good news by which you can know that this problem of sin and all this confusion can be taken care of. Here's how you can have salvation from the penalty of sin. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You need to understand this and get a hold of it. Jesus Christ became a man so he could identify with you. His spirit was still deity. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Creator God. But he truly became a man. He became the lamb that was slain. He became the substitute for us. And when he was placed on the cross, because he was God, and in the plan that was developed before man was ever created, Jesus Christ became the lamb slain. He was the sacrifice for us. And so when he was placed on that cross, every sin you've ever committed and every sin you will ever commit was placed on him. That was all future, of course, to the eternal God. And Jesus Christ bore the full judgment of God the Father for every one of us, completely paid the price for it so that we could have deliverance. Folks, that's a marvelous thing. That's the only hope for the creation of man. See, God created us with a free will. God created us in his image. God created us in a unique way that we can fellowship with God. And for us to be redeemed, he would have to pay this price, which is unthinkable, for us to have salvation. So my friends, 2,000 years ago, Jesus suffered on the cross for 3 hours. The earth went dark. Jesus screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the earth shook. Why? Because of my sin. Then the greatest word ever said is one word in the Greek. It is finished. Friend, let me tell you, Satan's a liar. You can't do anything to add to that. It's finished. Your judgment's paid for. Your penalty has been taken care of. God the Father has seen all of you, all of the dirty aspect of your life, everything that that causes you to deserve judgment, and he died. He paid. He judged Jesus, and he paid for that sin. You need to understand that. He was buried. Shows that he really died. And he rose again 3 days later, having conquered sin, death, and hell. The great message of the early Christians was he arose. He arose because sin had been paid for. Death could not hold him. Physically and spiritually and eternally, Jesus Christ, the God-man, rose from the grave. That is the good news. But you not only have to know it, you've got to agree with it. Edwin Rushworth was a skeptic all of his life, well known. And he resolved to read for an hour as he got older the book that he had derided so much, the Bible. Wife, he said as he looked up from his first perusal, if this book is right, we are really wrong. Well, that was a good start. He continued his readings for another week. Wife, he exclaimed at the end of that time, if this book is right, we are lost. Now, that's a very important first point. He went on reading with more avidity than ever. Wife, he said earnestly a few nights later, if this book is right, we might be saved. And they were. They accepted Christ. You see, not only did he start understanding, if he had stopped there, he still would not have had salvation. But he came to the place of agreeing that, yes, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit I deserve judgment. And I agree that Jesus paid for my sins and rose again. But the big key, folks, as we finish here this morning, and I want you to get this, the good news all relies on a decision that you have to make. You can understand and even agree, but until you stop depending on your works, stop depending on your religion, stop depending on your ideas, stop depending on your worth, all that fake news that you've been given, and turn to the good news. That's what repentance is. Stopping how you thought, turning to what the Bible says. Not until then will you be saved. The Bible makes it very clear that you have to trust the Lord. In fact, in that 1 Corinthians 15 passage, It makes it very clear, those that had believed. And then later on, it says that in verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the key is believe. You got to understand. That's what we've been talking about today. I trust you understand. You've got to agree with that. But you have to make a choice of your will. The word believe means to put your trust in, to depend upon. It's more than agreement. You've got to make a decision of will. I'm not depending on works. I'm not depending on my past. I'm not depending on anything. I'm depending upon Christ alone. And the minute we call upon him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Speaking of saved from wrath and hell. Just trust him. See, our pride doesn't like that. We want to do something. But if you'll humble yourself, put your faith in him, you will be saved. Dwight L. Moody was one of the greatest evangelists. He was known all across the world. And in Chicago, he had the Great Moody Church. It wasn't called that at the time. He's preaching to thousands of people. And he preached a tremendous message on judgment to come. And he was, and as he finished the message, he says, you know, I'm going to tell you exactly how to escape that judgment on Sunday morning. I want you to ponder it for this week. Then they sang a final hymn. Sankey, the famous song leader, was leading the hymn. But before he could finish the hymn, the tremendous sounds of the bells and all the noise of the fire trucks began to happen as the Chicago fire broke out. And hundreds of the people that were in that building, because the fire started right near it, perished that night. And Dwight L. Moody said, I will never give the gospel without inviting people at that time to trust Christ. We don't know what our future holds, but we do know him, and we know the truth. And my friend, this morning, could I invite you to just trust the good news? It will be the best news, and it will get sweeter as the days go by. And I can tell you, 100,000 years from now, you will see it as glorious news. Because you will be with God in heaven. That's why you were created. He loves you. But you have to understand the bad news. That you need him. You can't get to heaven on your own. In fact, judgment awaits. You've got to say no to the fake news that somehow we can do it ourselves and religion's going to be the way we get there. And then you got to say yes to the one who died for you and trust in him alone. And if you will understand that truth and agree with it and then depend upon it and say yes to Jesus, this morning you can have everlasting life. Isn't that good news? Won't you accept that today? Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here this morning, oh my friend, there are some here today that God brought you here by divine appointment. And down in your heart of hearts, I know the Spirit of God has been faithful to help you with what I have just simply taught. But to only understand it and even say, yes, preacher, I can see that, is not enough. You know, it's amazing how our pride will hold us back. There needs to be a clear decision, a humble decision. I need a Savior. Now, with no one looking, we do not want to embarrass anyone. We just want to be a help here this morning. How many here today would be able to say, Pastor Van Gelderen, not only have I understood and agreed with the gospel, but I can go back to a very definite time when I put my faith alone in Christ. I turned from my religion. I turned from all of that. I just simply trusted Christ and what he did on the cross. And I am not ashamed to tell you, I'm a born-again believer, and I know I'm on my way to heaven. Now, let's be very honest about this. This is very important that we're honest before God. If you know that, 100% sure, would you be so kind just to raise your hand and then put it right back down? All right, thank you. You may put them down. Now, those of you that raised the hand, let me just ask you, How are we doing in understanding the needs of those around us? Maybe there are some here just hearing the gospel. You'd say, Pastor, I need to be much more I need to be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I need to be far more burdened for the souls of men. The reality of eternity needs to grip my soul, and God's touched my heart. I need to be a surrendered Christian. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up for prayer if God had worked in your heart this way? God bless you. A number of hands here. Thank you. Now, you may not have been able to, with assurance, raise your hand. I appreciate your honesty. I really didn't see you directly. I just wanted this to be an opportunity for you to come to grips with this. But you'd say, Pastor, this morning I do understand as best I know how. And in my heart, I know, God's working in my heart, I know I need to agree with this. But I don't think I've ever really trusted the Lord. I can't tell you, I know for sure. And I realize this is eternal life. This is God. This is what life is about. And friend, on Good News Sunday, I would like to urge you to say, yes, I need to fully understand and trust the good news. God's working in my heart, and I'm going to be honest enough to admit my need here this morning. And I'm going to raise my hand along with these others that have raised their hand. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you just slip your hand up right now so I can see it? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? God's working in my heart. I have to be honest. If you came up to me and asked me, do I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven? I couldn't answer you, Pastor. I would hope so. I've tried to do what's right, but you would say there is a doubt. But I'm burdened about it, and I'm not going to point you out. I'm just going to pray in general, but I think it's good to acknowledge the need. Who else would join these and just raise your hand for just a moment till I see it so I can pray for you here this morning? Anyone like that? Just slip up your hand high enough. All right, God bless you. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. That's wonderful. God's working in my heart. I need to admit it. Yes, all right. God bless you. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing to see that. Anyone else? God's working in my heart. All right. All right, I've seen that hand. Yes, God bless you. Well, here's what I want to do in just a moment. We're going to be having an invitation just like Moody wishes he had given. This is not about our church. This is not about religion. I've already said that. This is about you and Christ. But churches have been commissioned, if they're Bible-believing churches, to bring people to Christ. And so in just a moment, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to stand. And we're going to have the piano play just a hymn as we still are bowed before the Lord, looking to Him. And those of you that raised a hand, I would like to encourage you right now to just determine, I'm going to get this settled today. This is good news. I need to embrace it. And you are going to be willing to come. What's going to happen is someone will be paired up with you that's trained in the scripture, a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and they'll take just a few minutes and clearly show you today how you can know you're on your way to heaven. Wouldn't that be the greatest thing? It really would be, friend. And I urge you to not worry about what anybody thinks. In fact, everybody here would be thrilled, but I would urge you to think what God thinks. And so let's ask God to work in our hearts. Lord, would you work in hearts now? Lord, a number of folks raised their hand. I do ask that you'll give them the courage to get this matter settled. And it's a matter of simply trusting you. And Lord, just to get some guidance to know what that means, and then to be able to leave here today having victory in their heart. Oh, God, meet the need of their hearts. I think of these Christians that raise their hand, how we need to be far more eternally minded and surrendered. Lord, we need to be far more broken about the needs of others. Would you work in their hearts, and would they make the decisions you would have for them to make? Now, Lord, bless in these final few very important minutes. Would your spirit control now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.